Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, July 13th, 2015, and on today's podcast we're going to discuss subsidized agriculture and the mindset of central planning in general, but primarily its effect on agriculture and the resulting effect on the U.S. taxpayer. I got interested in this subject because I have many friends who are farmers and who participate in this program. I started thinking about doing some research. And so when I say farm subsidies, I'm not talking about food stamps and other food assistance, although those programs come under the Department of Agriculture as well. It's a different discussion for a different time. The United States Department of Agriculture distributes between $10 billion and $30 billion annually in cash subsidies to farmers, depending on market prices, disaster payments, and other factors. Occasionally, the amount goes higher than that. More than 90% of subsidies go to farmers of five different crops: wheat, corn, soybeans, rice, and cotton. More than 800,000 farmers and landowners receive subsidies, and the payments are heavily weighted toward the largest producers. Agriculture has attracted the attention of federal planners since the land-grant colleges were established in 1862, but the bulk of central agricultural planning started in the 1930s with the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1933. New Deal programs sought to support prices, control production, and limit competition. Since then, farmers have resisted all efforts to eliminate or reduce subsidies. Today, farmers obviously represent a smaller share of the population than in the 1930s, but the farm lobby is as strong as ever. Farm members of Congress join forces with urban members. The urban members want increased subsidies for food stamps and so forth, which also are included in farm bills. For example, in 2008, there was a bill to increase subsidies and add new products to the subsidies, and President Obama vetoed it, but Congress overrode his veto. Agricultural subsidies have never made sense for the American taxpayer, but the amount continues to increase in relentless fashion. New crops, new payments constantly being added. Central planning of the agricultural economy, or said another way, welfare for farm business, is costly for taxpayers in more ways than one, and it causes distortions in the economy. Farmers are induced to overproduce certain crops, which drives prices down and creates demand for increased subsidies. Land prices in rural areas are inflated. Most importantly, innovation is stifled, including cost-cutting innovation, diversification, and becoming more globally competitive. Farming is subsidized in many different ways. Number one, direct payments are cash subsidies for producers of certain products. These are wheat, corn, sorghum, barley, oats, cotton, rice, soybeans, minor oil seeds, and peanuts. Direct payments seem to be based on some type of historical measure instead of on production or prices. Number two, marketing loans. These have been around since the New Deal. This is a program that pays guaranteed minimum prices for crops. Number three, countercyclical payments provide larger subsidies when prices are lower. Number four, conservation subsidies are those which pay farmers not to grow crops. They're also paid to cultivate grass or let the land sit idle. Much land under this program is owned by retired farmers and wouldn't be cultivated anyway, so you don't have to work or produce to get these conservation subsidies. Insurance is run by the Risk Management Agency and insures against bad weather, pests, low prices. 16 private insurance companies operating as kind of a cartel sell this subsidized insurance. Farmers pay only one-third of the cost, thus the premiums are artificially high. Discount premium companies are forbidden from entering the market. Number six, disaster aid is provided for anything Congress deems to be a disaster. It covers many other products, such as mushrooms, Christmas trees, and turf grasses. Number seven, export subsidies. aid farmers and especially food companies in their foreign sales. Number 8, agricultural research and statistics. These funds agricultural research where other industries fund their own research and development. There are, shall I say, bad results from all these subsidies. Number 1, they transfer the earnings of taxpayers to a group of primarily the largest and most successful farmers. 10% of all recipients receive 72% of the money. Number 2, they damage the economy by distorting production and preventing supply and demand free market. As I said earlier, cost cutting and innovation are stifled by these programs. Number 3, trade relations, and certainly the intent behind free trade agreements are hurt by farm subsidies. They make it harder for smaller countries, smaller economies to compete in trade against highly subsidized Europe and the United States. Number 4, damage to the environment occurs from other production and farming of marginal land. For example, in Florida, large wetland areas have been converted to sugarcane production due to artificially high sugar prices. How would agriculture survive without these subsidies? Well, just fine, I think. Just as the airlines, trucking, telecommunications, and energy industries have been reformed without subsidies and have had positive results. If farming were deregulated and subsidies ended, farming would, of course, have to change. Different crops, varying land use, entrepreneurs would come in, innovation would happen. Yes, some would go bankrupt, but a stronger, leaner, and more innovative and competitive industry would ultimately emerge, an industry with a greater ability to resist shocks and downturns. As an example, most farming does not receive subsidies at all, and it seems to do fine. They account for 64% of U.S. production. Only 36% are eligible for the tens of billions in subsidies. New Zealand ended farm subsidies in 1984, and output has soared since then. I got my information and statistics to do this podcast from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, also various news sources such as the Washington Post, but primarily from the U.S. budget. Finally, folks, end subsidies, return to the free market. We'll be glad we did. That's what I say. And now, since I've been traveling quite a bit and speaking more around the country, I'm going to limit my podcast to one day a week. Primarily, that will be Friday. So I will speak to you again on Friday, the 17th of July, folks. Until then, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.